Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're very kindly joined by Alan Green. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks, Jonathan. Good to be back.
So, Alan, we're recording the podcast a day after the budget. So we're not going to go into the ins and outs of the budget because, of course, that's going to be widely covered and has been widely covered elsewhere. But there's a few factors in there that I think that we need to explore, mainly for the context of the overall markets and what some of the themes are suggesting at the moment for investors. So just looking at the FTSE 100 today, we're down quite heavily. That's on the back of a significant sell-off over in the United States. There was a significant sell-off also in Asia. That's being driven mainly by rising bond yields. Of course, last week, we saw that the 10-year go up to about, in America, got to about 1.6, currently trading about 1.4. So that's obviously increasing fears of increased borrowing costs going forward and what that means for the equity markets. So I just want to come back now to the UK. We obviously sold off this morning. Some of the biggest movers on the downside there were the miners. If you're sort of looking at the likes of Rio Tinto, BHP Billiton, they were down some 7%. At some point, that's mainly down to commodities selling off because, of course, if we do see rising bond yields, that does mean that the sort of inflation trade that was going to take commodities higher could unwind. So that's a sector that we've discussed in some details in terms of the miners. And I'm just looking at markets now, Alan, and thinking, you know, if we go back 3 months, you could have pretty much bought anything and made money on it. But I think now we're moving towards what I would call a stock pickers market, where people have to be more selective and do a little bit more homework in their selections. And one of the sectors that's really standing out for me at the moment, and this is mainly on a valuation basis, looking at price to earnings, is the house builders. Particularly relevant at the moment because obviously the budget yesterday, Rishi Sunak announced that he's going to be pushing 5% mortgages. He's going to be putting back the stamp duty holiday. I mean, when we're looking particularly, Alan, at these house builders, do they have the potential to outperform the FTSE 100 going forward? Or do you think largely a lot of this good news is priced in to house builders now, given the recent rally that we've seen?
I think there's certainly scope for improvement in the house builders, Jonathan. I mean, you know, obviously last year with the pandemic, we saw the UK economy shrink by 10%. You know, that's a huge contraction by any standards, but it's predicted, the Chancellor predicts it's going to come back in this year with growth of 4% expected. So of course he's got to do everything he can to drive that, and certainly the news that they're going back to, or that they'll underwrite the last 5% of the mortgages to 95% is great news, I think, to stimulate the housing market, because there, you've got generation rent out there as well, and he wants to move, as he says, that generation from generation rent to generation house owners. And you know, certainly, I think I think given the amounts that some young families are being charged for rent, that's a really good thing. And of course, what that will do is stimulate the demand for housing, which should serve to certainly provide a solid backdrop for house building stocks. And of course, on the back of that, you've got the builders merchants that supply them, the plumbers merchants, the companies that supply insulation, all of that, that they're all going to benefit from that increase in sales. And it has a, you know, it reaches far and wide. So, I mean, obviously, there are concerns, and the bond sell-off, as you say, has triggered fears of Further inflation, and of course that has certainly put a lid on the demand for commodities in the interim. So I think overall, certainly the forecast for unemployment, there are expectations of horrendous numbers on the unemployment front, but with the extension of furlough schemes, with unemployment expected to peak at 6.5% next year, that's well down from what had been previously expected. But of course, the government's having to borrow a huge amount of money to do that. So it remains to be seen how they're going to deal with that in the longer term.
Yes, of course. I mean, they've somewhat kicked the can down the road with putting tax hikes away for sort of 2 or 3 years. There was some speculation initially that they could be announcing something in yesterday's budget, which they didn't do, which I think is probably a sensible thing to do given the state of the economy at this point in time. I mean, Alan, let's just go back to the FTSE 100, because we did obviously see a sell-off this morning. I mean, do you feel, sort of looking at broad equity markets, and this is probably applicable to overseas markets as well to some extent, do you think that we've come a little too far too quickly in terms of the rally, and the underlying global economy isn't going to support some of the valuations that we're seeing, particularly maybe in the tech sector over in the United States, back here in the UK? Conversely, some sectors are particularly undervalued, whereas we've got our classic COVID stocks such as Just Eat and Ocado. They run away from themselves. I mean, these sort of sectors, are we due a reset at some point in the not too distant futures, and that's going to be an opportunity, do you feel, for investors to then step in at that point?
Very much so, and I think because you've got these technology sectors that are so highly rated, particularly in the USA, those sectors are always prone to a reset and a correction, which is a healthy thing. And investors will sell out, help to drive that correction. And then, of course, investors will again buy in at the low level. But just looking at the march forward in technology, obviously, the relentless drive in electric vehicle growth. Jaguar is going fully electric by 2025. Ford is going fully electric, one of the largest vehicle manufacturers in the world, going fully electric by 2030. Those moves alone create such a drive and demand, future demand for the constituent components such as lithium, graphite, copper, and so on. That whilst we're going to see these corrections, certainly in the interim, due to what I'd term as knee-jerk reactions, the backdrop, in my opinion, is still as strong as ever. And I think also, with the grants the government's providing, I mean, there's a $5 billion grant for shops and businesses. So retail, that's going to get a shot in the arm and help for leisure industry as well. So probably what we're going to see is, whilst there's a correction at the moment in commodity stocks, we'll see increased demand for leisure, travel, the more conventional stocks, of course, have taken such a battering. So, I expect the FTSE to progress further this year. We could possibly even get back to 7,000 by the end of the year. Who knows?
Yeah, Simon, I don't think that's too much of a ridiculous idea. And sort of touching on the tech sector there, one investment trust that I know is very closely followed by investors is the Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust. Looking at where that is trading now, just above £10, it looks as though we have seen a reset already in that particular trust there. So that's looking quite interesting. So certainly going to be some opportunities from this volatility that we're seeing at the moment. So we're going to move on now, Alan, to the three equities that we're going to discuss today. So, I mean, the first of these plays into quite an interesting report out very recently from BlackRock, and the newly, well, not newly launched, this was launched within the last sort of 12 to 18 months, the BlackRock Circular Economy Fund has recently highlighted key sectors for 2021. This is obviously playing into increasing sustainability within the business cycle. That they've highlighted plastic as being one key element for the circular economy, technology, healthcare, and obviously fast fashion is an area that needs some attention. So just looking at this technology area, and this plays in very nicely to the first company that we're going to discuss here in Ektech, because they're very much at the forefront of circular economy technology with their waste to energy plants. They've been rolling out. They had a tremendous 2020 in terms of share price. David Palumbo's appeared a couple of times on UK Investor Magazine presentations. Very interesting insight there into the company. I think the last one they did was sort of mid last year, just before they underwent a capital raising, which then subsequently saw the share price soar from there. But Alan, what's the most recent updates from Ektech?
Okay, so Ektech, as you rightly say, Jonathan, they're at the heart of the drive in waste to energy technology. They have advanced gasification technology that's used in industrial sized power plants, and it's proprietary technology that has been developed by the group. Essentially, when the waste and the plastic is put into the gasification unit, it reduces that volume by 96%, creates heat and electricity, and of course, it's very positive on the climate change front. The company had an incredible 2020, as you rightly say. If you put so the shares were trading at 0.5p on the 18th of November. By the start of January, they were trading at 2.76p. So, you know, within a couple of months, you could have had a multi-bagger on your hands. But that's just really underscoring that the potential that the company is set to deliver this year. It has a number of collaborations and joint ventures underway, working with a company called UAG, a German-based company. It announced at the start of January that it had formed signed a memorandum of understanding with a Greek company called Nobilis. And between the three of them, the companies are going to collaborate to develop a pipeline of opportunities in the Thessaloniki area and central Greece. It's a step along the road that really highlights the joint venture potential for UAG and Ektech across Greece and also across the Balkans as well. A number of developments joint ventures during 2020 as well were signed and developed. When the company discussed its prospects for the coming year, it said its sales pipeline implied 7 million euros of sales in 2020, 40 million euros in 2021 with a profit of 5.5 million euros. In 2022, they forecast sales of 65 million euros with a profit of 11 million euros. And indeed, the company seems to be well on the way to do that. To doing that, it's developing a 25 megawatt waste gasification power plant up in Billingham in County Durham. There's an RDF, refuse derived fuel, a special purpose vehicle agreement signed at Deeside. The company announced at the end of February, in fact, that it had acquired the project site at Billingham, and of course was set to create a number of jobs and environmental benefits in the area. Also in February, the company announced a collaboration with a company called Logic, L-O-G-I-K. Logic are a strategic land developer, and they're progressing a number of with a progressive portfolio of waste to energy projects and sites across the UK. So obviously, you know, it's an extremely good fit. EgTech bring the technology, Logic seek out the sites and help develop the sites. So in regard to hitting that, those numbers, 40 million euros and 5.5 million profits in 2021, the company looks well on track to do that. And of course, with the shares currently trading at 1.55p, they've come off those year highs, and now would seem to be a good time to do that. The company is well funded. It, a couple of days ago, raised 285,000 from warrant exercises. And of course, as you say, David Palumbo, who's who's well regarded, he's an entrepreneur, also the chief exec of Origin Capital. He's driving the company forward and has made very good progress since his induction. The company also recently appointed a chief ops officer, Jeff van der Linden, formerly from AB InBev and Sab Miller, the brewery and drinks distribution giants. Also, Jeff previously worked with Capgemini, PwC and IBM. So they're expanding the board, expanding the team, and expanding and growing the company, which looks to me to be very well placed for growth this year.
Indeed. I mean, looking at the list of recent projects, is very much playing into the strategy that they set out last year. I mean, the expansion into the UK, I think it's going to be particularly interesting with this wider theme of searching for more renewable sources of themes. This is definitely one placed in the right sector at the moment and definitely delivering on its strategy there. So I think we're going to have quite a strong 2020 from EgTech. So I'm sure one that we touch on again at some point. So moving on now. Now, this is a company, just looking at the chart here, very strong rally that started probably back in November 2020, and seeing the share price nearly double actually from around 25p up to trading now at just beneath 50p. Expediator, it's involved in logistics. You know, a business like this with all the issues that are supposedly going on with Brexit, you think would be facing some issues, but it doesn't seem to be the case, Alan. What's been happening there?
No, you're right, Jonathan. It's actually counterintuitive in a sense, isn't it? You know, given the issues with Brexit and COVID and the lockdown and everything else, you think that what is essentially a freight management and haulage company would be in dire straits, but not a bit of it. But and also, as we've seen, of course, we've spoken previously about Logistics Development Group, the former Eddie Stobart Logistics, who also have seen have enjoyed a very strong year. But I took a look at Expediator, just wondering if Logistic Development Group's successes had been reflected there, and they certainly have, as you pointed out, an incredibly strong share price performance. You know, with shares trading at 22p back in at the start of November, and now trading just under 50p. So they've doubled since that point. So the company Expediator, XPD, the Epic Code, shares have traded as high as 57p, as low as 13p on the year. So we're pushing towards those year highs. Got a market cap of just under 70 million. It was founded by Stephen Blythe in 1988, and it's been a family business pretty much all the way through, based in Essex, and it now employs over 1,000 people in nine countries across across Europe. Stephen Blythe stepped down after 32 years toward the end of the end of 2019. He was replaced by one of his senior managers, Robert Ross, who is still the chief executive today, and he's certainly been responsible for maintaining the performance of the group during the COVID crisis. In October, they acquired a company called Nid Transport up in Ripon in Yorkshire to expand their network. They paid 4.6 million in cash out of the company for that. So the company's in a very strong position financially, clearly, to be able to do that. The company has a pallet business as well and operates on road, sea and air. And the pallet business has been a perennial performer for them. And certainly that was reflected in the trading statement the company issued at the end of January. where it said it was set to beat market expectations and deliver, and this was based on higher than expected demand in the UK and Europe. The company said it would expect to report pre-tax profits of 7.2 million, which are basically up 40% on a year ago. And Robert Ross said that the numbers were really an excellent result to end an extraordinary year, but also that 2021 has started well, and the company was set to benefit and was already seeing benefits from the 500,000 cost saving or cost reductions it had made during 2020 as a result of the crisis. So again, a counterintuitive investment perhaps, but one that I think has performed extraordinarily well. And I guess given that we've spoken, of course, about logistics development group previously, and we've seen that company enjoy an incredibly strong year on the back of providing the distribution services for Tesco's and for other supermarkets. And of course, it's important in lockdown, people are relying on distribution more than ever. So in that regard, Expedia have seen the same benefits. Further growth to come this year, it certainly looks that way at the moment.
Indeed. So, and just looking at the shares, I mentioned there that they've obviously doubled since November. I mean, is this one that you feel has the trajectory to move higher from here? Or do you think sort of now looking at shares that a lot of the good news is priced in and really investors should be looking at a bit of a pullback here as an entry? Or do you think this is one that's going to continue its march from this point forwards?
Well, I saw the company present a few years ago at an investor evening, and the company prided themselves essentially on managing their cash and their resources very carefully. And when they came to market, they had a war chest to make these acquisitions. So, of course, they've continued to make the acquisitions, the NID Transport one being the most recent one. So I think the company they're acquiring a network, and obviously with a network of companies like this, there are great opportunities for economies of scale. So, essentially, it's not asset stripping. They can cut the running costs of that company to improve the profit margin and bring them all together. So that strengthens their position. Also, if it comes to a downturn in the business, but certainly, given the way things seem to be progressing at the moment, I think there is scope for further growth within these industries. I think a lot of people, even though the lockdown is set to be lifted in the summer, I think a lot of people will still choose to self-isolate and rely more heavily on online services and certainly receiving their food from the supermarkets online.
Yes, indeed. And I think, you know, obviously going back to other companies we discussed in the sector, that there seems to be some strength there from a top-down perspective. So I think we're probably going to have another update from them later on in the year that we'll be touching on. So moving on now, Alan, we're going to touch on Myriad Advertising, obviously operating in the ad tech sector. We've discussed this company in some detail previously, but like a lot of the companies that we do discuss, there's always new developments as they grow. So what's the recent updates from them?
Okay, so Myriad, of course, MIRI is the epic code. It's a technology company, Myriad have developed a dynamic platform where advertising can be inserted into live content. So if you and I are watching a film, Jonathan, and there's, say, a crate of beer on the counter in the kitchen and the scene, then you might see Corona beer, I might see Fuller's Bitter. It's that sort of that's how clever the technology is. And there's a very strong reason for this, and a very strong reason commercially too. Given that we're watching box sets now, and that streaming services such as Netflix are to the fore, conventional TV advertising doesn't get the airtime that it once did, simply because we choose to hit the skip ads button, so we wind through and get to the next part. So now more than ever, it's essential that for advertisers wanting to reach their audience that they can do so without interrupting the flow of the program. And that's what Myriad have essentially developed. It's artificial intelligence and its insertion of commercial content into programming at many different levels. And as we've seen, I mean, Myriad too has enjoyed a spectacular year. I mean, shares were trading at this point last year. They were trading as low as 6p. And of course, they've come all that way and traded as high as 65p. Largely driven, I might add, by the move in September last year to an OTC listing in the US. A lot of the company's work and contracts are in the US, and that's where it sees huge opportunities. So, of course, the move gave them exposure to US investors, and certainly trading at 20p, that as they were at the time, the shares then jumped up to 35-40p and have continued to push on since then. So revenues are modest at this point, so it certainly reflects a racy valuation. But I think with the contracts the company has, it has a contract with Tencent. Of course, there's a massive campaign taking place in China across the various platforms. The company has trialed Channel 4 in the UK, has a number of trials running with major networks in the USA. And then it announced a breakthrough commercial agreement with content providers, and also with music providers. It formed an alliance in November with Red Light Management. So commercial content could be inserted into current videos and, of course, historical videos. So if you're watching, say, videos from a 90s song, then you might see ad content in there now from Myriad. So the opportunities going forward and also retrospectively for Myriad are absolutely huge. Myriad also raised, they undertook a placing at 40 pence in November last year, raised 23 million. And so at the time, the company was trading in line with its revenue guidance of 2 million and was very encouraged with the partnerships it was making. The funds would be, of course, used to accelerate the sales and platform development. And to that end, they made two appointments, which I think have really helped to open up for them. They appointed as technology officer a guy called Philip Matamo, formerly of TalkTalk, Sky, and Skype, to develop and build the network of sales opportunities and technology solutions. And also appointed a lady called Kelsey Skinner, who is ex-Stanford Uni, worked for a Palo Alto venture capital firm on the West Coast in the USA, and is also working now for Touchstone Innovations. You know, a lot of experience at Silicon Valley, and this lady is expected to bring a great deal to the table. So shares, in a sense, have taken a breather really since the start of the year. I think once we see further evidence of contracts being developed with the major networks, I think Myriad will take its next steps and continue to develop. And as we know, if we look at the NASDAQ, technology companies in this area are trading on ratings well ahead of where Myriad is today.
So, Adam, when I'm looking at the company here, of course, I'm just going back to its interim results, which were issued some time ago. And this is obviously to the half year of June of last year. So we're going to be expecting an update, I believe, in the not too distant future. I mean, what are you looking for in particular from this company? I mean, there's two elements that I see here that are particularly interesting with Myriad. First of all, an increase in revenue that's representative of the contract wins, but also their and they had back then cut their expenditure as well. So that obviously summed up to be a reduced loss overall for the period. I mean, is this a company that you think is going to continue on that trend, or do you feel that there's still some expenditure needed at quite high levels to keep the growth in revenue going?
I suspect that the majority of the spend is now completed, but clearly it's a moving feast, as we know, and there may well be further requirements. But in October last year, Myriad announced a breakthrough commercial agreement with the entertainment and media enterprise. And I think it's, you know, what, in the same way that we've spoken about companies like Bidstack going through the trialing process and the validation process, Myriad, in a sense, has been going through the same, has taken the same steps. Of course, it's had agreements, got agreements with Taste Made, Fuse Media, Meredith, and other household names already. So, I think the opportunity for Myriad to really start to commercialize this and for revenues to start to accelerate, I think they've done the hard yards now, and I think now is the time where we'll see the results from the advertising spends and the take up by advertisers become widespread. So that I think will underwrite the. I think that should underwrite future revenues, and of course negate the need for any certainly near term in the near term or the foreseeable future any need for any further fundraising.
Yeah, they seem to be relatively well capitalized. Just looking here at recent reports and activities that have happened subsequently to that, so I'm sure one that we will update listeners of the podcast on in further updates later in 2021. So just as a recap there, stocks that we discussed today were Ectech, ticker EQT, Expediator with a ticker of EPD, and just then was Myriad Advertising, which trades under the ticker of MIRI. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you, Jonathan. Just to say, Expediator is XPD.
Sorry, XPD. XPD.
Yeah.
The wrong way around. XPD there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.